Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Dolan. A new water system for the Sabayeta land grant down south. A dam in Cabresto near Taos. The new interchange, Paseo del Norte and I-25 in Albuquerque. The spaceport. These are the kind of infrastructure projects that move water and people around the state, and we need them badly. They cost a lot of money, and some or most of that money comes from the state. The way we fund these projects is through a pretty arcane 40-year-old process called capital outlay. You've probably heard about it in the news around the legislative session. The state legislature today passed a $300 million capital outlay bill. But the details are pretty nebulous. And every year, the majority of the money that state lawmakers allocate towards these capital projects isn't actually assigned to roads and dams and spaceports. Critics say most of the money is spent on little things like football helmets and toilets and signs that may be very worthwhile, but aren't the kind of projects that this money is set aside for. And they shouldn't be funded at the expense of the big projects that we really need. So today with us, before we get to our guests, critics say the system is really good at helping politicians throw little pieces of pork around their districts, but it's not very good at making a list of important projects and then giving them all of the money they need to get it done. My guests today will explain how we got so turned around and give us some ideas for a way forward. First, Sandra Fish is a reporter with New Mexico In Depth, an online nonprofit news site that I also write for sometimes. Her specialty is data, and she has analyzed over the past few months how much money we're spending on capital outlay and where it's going. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Good morning, Gwyneth.
How are you doing this morning?
Great. It's wonderful to be here.
So you've been covering this issue for New Mexico In Depth for a while now, and you, as I mentioned, kind of did an in-depth analysis of where this money goes and comparing databases to see how the projects are moving along. You found that New Mexico lawmakers appropriated more than $1 billion for nearly 3,000 capital outlay projects in the years between 2010 and 2014, but less than half of that money has been spent. We're talking about projects they voted on 5 years ago. Why haven't we spent this money?
Well, Gwyneth, in some instances, people just weren't ready to spend the money. They got their projects in the bill, but they're not ready to go. Or, in other instances, they need more money. There are a ton of examples out there of projects that, why were they in the bill in the first place? If you want to hear one, the Daily Times in Farmington wrote about hundreds of thousands of dollars that were allocated again and again in these 5 years for a home for women and children in Shiprock. But in that time frame, that money has been kept by the state because the Navajo Nation and the homes officials couldn't agree on the project. It's the sort of thing that never would have gotten in the bill under a more coordinated system because the system in New Mexico is really unusual. One academic told me last fall when I was talking to him that it was a textbook example of how not to fund such projects because it's a process where individual lawmakers get a specified amount, usually between $500,000 and $1 million, and they can send that money wherever they want. And it ends up with a really uncoordinated process.
Yeah, we're kind of throwing quarters all over the place when what we really should be doing is saving our quarters up to spend a dollar on something bigger.
That's totally true. You know, some lawmakers have told me that there's a $50,000 minimum for projects, but one-third of the 2,800 projects we're looking at in those 5 years are below that limit, and 91% of the projects during that time are below $1 million. So You're doing a bunch of very small things, you know, $500 for a senior center here, $1,000 over there. And, you know, that's not to say that $30,000 can really go a long way in a small town or colonia that needs improvements in its water system. But there are places where you wonder why they're doling out money like this.
Yeah, why it's coming from this specific pot of money, I guess.
Exactly. And we should say, too, that This money is, the state sells bonds based on severance taxes collected from oil and gas extraction in New Mexico. So every year there's an estimate of how much severance taxes are going to be brought in, and they sell bonds usually on a 10-year payback system. So every year you have this money, and then in even-numbered years, in this next year, you'll also have a general obligation bond or GO bond bill of capital projects that works a little bit the same way.
Also with us this hour, we have Fred Nathan, the executive director of Think New Mexico, which is a good government group based in Santa Fe. And they have just issued a report suggesting ways to reform this project. Welcome back to the show, Fred.
Gwyneth, thank you for having me on.
Fred, I'm looking at a list of the capital outlay projects that got funding during the 2015 session. And I see stuff like exercise machines for senior centers, a fence for a Little League ball field, plaques at the Veterans Park in Las Cruces, and a renovation of the Coronado Dog Park here in Albuquerque. Hey, I use that dog park. I'm like, I know, I love that dog park, but the sprinklers are always busted. So the grass doesn't grow in completely. And then they put these wood chips all over the place. And then the grass really doesn't grow. Why should we not be spending capital outlay money to fix my dog park?
Well, the fact is that we have billions of dollars of unmet needs for bigger priorities, roads and water systems and dams and bridges, some of the things that Sandra was just talking about, that are getting crowded out so that we can spend money somewhat, as one legislator said, that Pete Compass wrote his PhD thesis on this process, and said it's archaic and parochial and hyper-political. And so what we need to do is really look at what other states, you know, what we said in our report is look at how other states are doing this. And they all have a statewide plan.
But let me before we get to other states, because
sure.
I'm guessing that you're going to say they do it better. Because that's kind of what...
That's a good guess.
Yeah, that's what you usually tell us when you tell us we have a problem. Then you go and tell us how other states do it, which is better. But first, we are probably the only state that does capital project funding this way. So if we need to build a spaceport or if we need to do this fancy interchange at I-25 and Paseo that you just drove through that got capital outlay money,
correct.
We do it this way. Can you talk us through the process of how this works from beginning to end? So I'm a person who goes to this Coronado Dog Park, and I'm like, hey, we need to fix this park. And then I call my state representative, and I say, can you please help me fix this park? Is that how it starts?
In many cases, that's true. But at the same time, there are local communities and state agencies. So cities and counties do something called an ICIP. I forget what that stands for. Sandra probably knows. Where they lay out what their priorities are. And unfortunately, those generally are ignored. And then what happens is when the money gets distributed, and Sandra alluded to this earlier, in this last session, for example, every senator got $1 million, every state representative got $600,000. And in a political system where there are no criteria or ways of allocating this money, it's going to get spent in the way that you just alluded to, as opposed to stepping back and saying, well, what are our most urgent public health and safety needs? Which projects are shovel ready? And doing it in a rational way, as other states do.
Sandra, you know, one of the criticisms of this process is that it's not very transparent. But each lawmaker does make a list of the stuff that they want, and that gets posted online, right?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. There are individual bills that lawmakers introduce of capital projects, and some of them are basically wish lists. If you looked at the past couple of years of between state projects, which this bill funds these state projects too, like university buildings and veterans' homes and prisons. And
The Ferris Engineering building right here at UNM got some capital outlay money.
Yeah, it's funding these state infrastructure projects that are really necessary. And those state projects, they must be in, as Fred said, the ICIP or Infrastructure Capital Improvement Plan. But that plan is optional for local governments. A lot of cities and counties do put projects in those plans, but you see projects in the capital outlay bill that aren't in that ICIP plan. And you see projects at schools, which have their own separate
So I'm hearing you say this is like a parade where all of the politicians are in these, you know, convertibles, and they're going to a place where they're going to spend money on bridges. But along the way, they're throwing their candy out of the car at people standing on the sidewalk. Is that a good metaphor?
A little bit. And, you know, $4 billion is what, you know, the state and lawmakers have said is needed in recent years. But a lot of those things in lawmakers' bills are never really going to get put in the bill. And as far as transparency, the process really isn't transparent. Up to a point it is. The legislative finance staff is recommending state projects to be put in the bill along with the executive branch. But then there comes a time during the legislative session where legislative leaders and the executive branch are meeting to decide how much of that money will go to state projects, projects that are state buildings and that sort of thing, and how much is left over for lawmakers to throw out of their car as candy in the parade. And it's unclear how that gets done. I've talked to staff, legislative staffers who can't tell me exactly, or how individual lawmakers or groups of lawmakers decide which of the projects in their bill are going to end up actually getting funding.
Yeah, that part is really mysterious. Hold on, I want to bring our listeners into this conversation. So, listeners, are there big public infrastructure projects in your community that need money that haven't gotten it? And I'm talking about something bigger than a dog park, because I love that dog park. But there's not that many of us. What do you see around you that needs work? Do you know of projects that got money but shouldn't have qualified? Do you have projects that you see in your neighborhood that aren't done? Let us know. Call us now at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866. Or toll free 877-899-5866. Or send your comment or question in an email to callinshow@kunm.org. Now back to you, Fred.
Well, on this transparency point, and Sandra's exactly right in everything she said, I would just point out in this last special session, you know, they had to convene a special session just to pass this bill earlier this year. And in terms of transparency, the bill was never posted online during the session. It only went online after the special session had concluded. So if you were a member of the public and you have a right to know what's in there, it's your tax dollars, right? No idea. And it wasn't just the public. It was mayors. It was county commissioners. And, you know, in talking to some of them, they expressed frustration that they go to great lengths to prioritize their needs, oftentimes ignored, and then the bill will come out and there'll be something in their local community that they now have to pay for the operating costs, the heating and the cooling or whatever it is. So it's almost worse than nothing, as one said to me.
You call it the Christmas tree bill, and it is, I'm gathering, sort of like that, where people make these Christmas lists and they hope and they pray, and then when the session is over, they look under the tree to see what they got.
That's exactly right. This is a process that goes back to 1977. And before then, it was a very transparent bill or a very transparent process where you would put in a bill for a specific capital infrastructure project, and it would go through all the committees and go to the floor of each chamber and be voted on with a lot of public scrutiny. In 1977, that process changed, and they took 27 of these bills, put them all in one great bill, over $100 million of spending. Interestingly, we looked at that actual bill, and on the cover, they transformed the words to put it in the shape of a Christmas tree so that no legislator would miss, you know, what was going on. And they passed it, and it's been sort of something of a tradition ever since, in the sense that there's something for everyone.
And I guess the idea is that there are lots of small communities that feel like they don't have a lot of clout and they aren't going to get funding when there's something like a spaceport out there kind of hogging all the attention, and Sir Richard Branson is rappelling off the face with acrobats, and how are they going to say, hey, we need a sewer system? You know, there is some competition here. We're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll talk to State Representative Sharon Klawdzielewicz about the kinds of projects that folks need in her rural district near the Navajo Nation. Supporters of the current system say small communities do benefit when each lawmaker gets an equal amount of money to spend on brick-and-mortar projects in their area. Would they lose if we change this system? Call us now, 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866, or toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also post comments and questions on our Facebook page, KUNM Radio.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate-dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Support comes from the 28th Annual Galisteo Studio Tour in the historic village of Galisteo on Route 41 between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, October 17th and 18th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. Maps and more at GalisteoStudioTour.com.
Hey, Shannon.
What?
It's that time again. Tune in to YMP's Audio Revolution. We will be exploring the topic of coming out, and we'll have all kinds of stories from strong people who decide that they have no choice but to be who they are.
Check out the personal stories about relatives who have come out, interviews with local activists, research of resources and support services for those who are in need, and much more. Listen to Youth Media Project's Audio Revolution this Friday at 8 a.m. on KUNM 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Gwyneth Doland, and we're talking about the way New Mexico spends money on bridges, dams, roads, water systems, things like that. We're joined today by Sandra Fish, a data journalist with New Mexico In Depth, and Fred Nathan, the executive director of Think New Mexico, a think tank that has just put out a report on reform of this system. And joining us now is State Representative Sharon Klajaszilagy from Kirtland, which is just west of Farmington. Welcome to the show, Representative.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate this.
Well, I was thinking of you because the recent Gold King mine spill sent that contaminated water through Durango and then Farmington and then on through your area and to the Navajo Nation, where it really highlighted this problem, highlighted some of the longstanding infrastructure problems out there with exactly what we're talking about, dams and water systems and water treatment. You know, how does your district's infrastructure needs differ from, say, Espanola or Clovis?
Oh, my gosh, where do I begin? Definitely, the way we differ is there really is an absence of the basic infrastructure needs. And in other words, a lot of us are off the grid, and I say us because I include myself. We don't have consistent electricity. We do not have roads, and I'm talking school bus roads that are equivalent to the rest of the state. Infrastructure across the board is really a need in District 4, which I attribute to the lack of advocacy, for the district. And so I feel like that's what highlights where we are right now.
Well, what we've been talking about is the way that these equal amounts of money are divided up. And I looked, and in my district, here in Albuquerque, my old district before I moved, there was a whole bunch of money spent to rehab a dog park that I go to. And I was really excited about that. But now that I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars that they want to spend on that dog park could probably go a lot farther out near you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I totally agree. In fact, I look at some of the funding streams across the New Mexico budget, and it's interesting where a lot of this money goes to areas such as what you're talking about. And capital outlay, you look at capital outlay, and what I've done is when it comes time to put in my request, we're given a funding sheet request, and I usually run around to, I look at my colleagues, and I look at the ones who have a lot of the infrastructure in place, Albuquerque, and I'm talking specifically about Albuquerque, because how many of them need another road? How many of them need another playground. A lot of their infrastructure is in place. So what I do is I go around to them and ask them if they could help me with 10,000 here, 20,000 there to help me with projects that really need to be completed. So that's what I do. So what does this mean? This means that I have to research, I have to look, and I have to see where a lot of the other legislators have put their money and see if I can beg, plead, and bargain to get some of that money to my area. Because like I say, my area in a way is just basic. We need some of the basic areas in my area.
Yeah, I think in 2013, the legislature approved spending about $2 million to improve the Valley Acres water system in Kirtland.
Yes.
What's that project going to do?
Oh, my gosh. The flooding. It's going to prevent flooding whenever we have rain. In other words, when we have excess water as a result of rain or snow. And this, as a result, causes a lot of the flooding in the area. And you know, the water is not directed. So it goes everywhere and anywhere. So to contain that water was why we got together as legislators and funded that, which is basically the way we've been funding in San Juan County, to complete projects and complete infrastructure needs. As legislators, we have come together and we pool our money together to get projects funded, such as this, you know, the Farmington Stormwater Detention Pond.
Right.
We put our money together to complete that.
I see you also asked for money for the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe and for Explora, the Children's Museum in Albuquerque. So you're trying to get them projects too. So in some ways, the system doesn't actually work to send all of the money allocated to each representative directly to their area.
Right. Right.
Let's take a call really quickly here. I hate to interrupt you, Representative,
okay,
but Tim has been on the line for a while now, and he wants to talk about waste in this system. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you. You're talking about pennies. Well, the dollars just fly out the window. The highway department wastes more money than you guys could ever dream about. And if we need some expertise from the governor on down into the legislature about what we're really doing here. The state's in the business of highways and schools. The highway department will fix a road that doesn't need anything. Those that need repair don't get touched. And then they're talking about another big Paseo debacle at Rio Bravo. The Rio Bravo intersection could be fixed for probably a couple hundred thousand dollars, not millions, just with good signage and a little bit of good engineering. But it just continues on and on and on. And they have equipment that they don't need. They're purchasing protocol is off base.
Tim, thank you for pointing.
So the state needs to get somebody in there with expertise and get control of that money, and then there's money for everything else.
Thank you, Tim, for bringing that up. I really appreciate you kind of highlighting the way, and the highway department's a little bit of a separate issue, but there is a lack of centralized planning and mission control here in this process. I think what he's kind of pointing out here. If the idea is that we're supposed to be, you know, accomplishing these big long-term goals and those are the rules of the game, we apparently are not really playing it right. Sandra Fish, earlier this year, you reported that almost 500 projects in the 2014 capital outlay bills were not part of any long-range plans filed with the state, according to the Department of Finance and Administration. Representative Claudia Shillage, should there be broad agreement on which projects get funded through capital outlay? Or do you worry that it would be hard to persuade, say, a centralized commission to fund projects in your area rather than Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and the big cities?
Wow. You're asking, this is a loaded question, mainly because it goes to the political structure within the legislative body. This alone would require a huge session of its own, because I think that I think a lot of the bugs need to be identified first, and then to go to a commission, there again is a problem. We have boards, say, and let me go to like the Tribal Infrastructure Fund, also referred to as TIF, has a board. And the whose purpose is exactly what you're talking about. However, the wisdom of that board has not always funded or identified communities that are really in infrastructure need. Instead, it has gone to, the money has gone to a fluff, then need. And so I think it would be really difficult to find well-intended hearts, so to speak, of people, of commissioners who would actually do this job, because the political will of people initially takes over the goodwill of the heart. I've just seen this across the board since I've been there.
You mentioned fluff in the system, and I want to point out one thing in your district. In 2014, the capital outlay budget included $15,000 to install signage for the West Campus of San Juan College in Kirtland. Are signs for this school the kinds of thing that should be in a capital outlay bill? Because as of June of this year, that money still hadn't been spent. That's a year and a half. Couldn't that college have come up with just $15,000 for signs some other way?
You'd think so. You would think so. Except that the campus that I requested a sign for is in my district. And the reason I requested for that sign was because, I mean, the extension of San Juan College is way out in the weeds, so to speak. And we could never find the school, I for one. And in driving around, when I first returned, I didn't realize there was a West Campus. And when I found it, I looked at the sign, I thought, this is ridiculous. Mm. As important as the West campus is, we need a sign. And we got it. And unfortunately, there again, with the school, you know, I mean, the West campus is not a priority of the main school. And that's
right.
How I took it.
Right.
I
They're not going to get money from other places in your community, which doesn't really have enough money. So it has to come from somewhere.
I took the initiative and just, you know, funded them.
We want to hear from Otta here in Albuquerque, who's talking about a park project that's gone unfinished. Welcome to the show, Otta.
Thank you very much. I think my question is maybe I don't understand the process, but when in my district there was a multi-generational that was built, so I would say about 10 years ago, along with that project, there was a spot for a tennis court and a basketball court for the kids in the neighborhood. And that has been left fallow for the past 10 years, which has become an eyesore. And my question is, there are other areas in Albuquerque where a multi-generational was built along with all the amenities that went along with it. So why is it that our part did not get completed, whereas everywhere else has been completed? What is the process? Why are we missing that is my question.
Well, you know, the answer is I do not know. But Sandra Fish, I want to get back to you here. There is a way to track these projects and what kind of progress has been made. But until I read your story about it, I didn't know it existed. How did you track some of these projects, Sandra?
You know, let me get to the caller's question. And this money is usually, if you're living in the city of Albuquerque, that money is going to be funneled through the city of Albuquerque, and it's their responsibility to actually do that project. And one way to find out more about it is to contact your local legislator, because they probably sponsored it, and they could contact the city about getting it done. But as far as tracking these projects, that's the other thing, is that the data kept by the state is not really great. There are they track it in several different ways about how much money has been spent, and it's not clear which one is most accurate. The way they do this is that the local in most of these instances, it's a local government that might be spending the money, and they've got to get a contract. They've got to have agreements in place with whoever else is with the state and whoever else is using, like if it's a senior center or something like that. Then they've got to take bids, and then they've got to spend the money, and they get repaid by the state. So it's a little bit difficult for, say, local governments to misuse the money, but the state doesn't appear to do a great job tracking it. Local governments are supposed to update the information on a state website through the Department of Finance and Administration every month.
But aside from you, Sandra, nobody's really doing it. I mean,
there are state agencies that don't get it done.
Right.
So the tracking of how this money is spent isn't great either. Now,
I hate to interrupt you, but is there any reporting that goes back to the legislature as a whole and says, this is what we did last year and this is what we got done and we're 50% done with this or that? Do you know?
Yes, there is. During the summer, we have interim committees, and a lot of reports are presented to us through the various committees. But what is being mentioned is very important, and that is that what's happening, a lot of times the money goes unspent because the clock starts ticking for the expenditure of money as soon as the entity who's been awarded the money receives a letter indicating they've been awarded the money. The clock starts ticking. However, the biggest delay in getting projects completed, therefore money spent, are these agreements. Sometimes these agreements take months, years to get completed. And in a number of instances, the agreement because we're talking agreements between governments, the state and the county, the state and the tribes, the state and whatever the entity is, we're talking about agreements. And these agreements, a lot of times, like as I mentioned, aren't completed until maybe the 11th hour to when the money is supposed to be spent.
Right.
So then it falls back to us. A lot of times we have to reauthorize this money, or that money reverts back to the general fund or back to a there are many pots of money that the money reverts back to. So what happens then, it gives the appearance that the project that requested the money really didn't need the money anyway because it went unspent.
Right.
Well, that's not necessarily true. And so I'm looking and I'm working with people to see if maybe we should start the clock after the agreement has been signed rather than when the award letter is given to the project. That time span between when the award letter goes out and the agreement is signed goes into months and years. And so, I have a lot of projects where the money has been reverted back. And it's for that reason, because a lot of times the attorneys don't agree on what is written into the agreements. I mean, you're talking governments.
Representative, should there be this agreement in place before the money comes?
You'd think so. Because to me, an award letter would not, which comes first, the award letter or the agreement?
I think this highlights that the system just isn't very coordinated, and it seems a little bit inefficient. I want to mention that Governor Susana Martinez has said she wants to change the way this works, and she has been vetoing projects in the capital outlay bill that she thinks don't really fit the description. Senator Pete Campos and Senator Cisneros have also introduced bills to change this in the past, and I think Senator Campos says he's going to do it again. there's not really a political division here. You're a Republican. The governor's a Republican. The senators I mentioned are Democrats. It really is more of a philosophical disagreement about the way this works. If we came up with, Senator Campos is going to introduce a way to change this. Would you vote to change the way we do capital outlay and have the projects go through some sort of central body that coordinates it?
I would really scrutinize whatever the legislation is, because let's look at the overall picture. The overall picture is this. We are coming from, I'll just really generalize. We are coming from a system with limited processes, therefore order, to entities saying, wait a minute, in order to justify, in order to qualify, in order to be transparent, we need to put this whole unorderly process into a process that is into a process.
Right.
We need to know, we need a start, middle, and ending to this. And so that's where the resistance is coming. It's like dealing with a kid. When a kid has had their way for years and all of a sudden boundaries are put in, then what are you going to have? You're going to have resistance. That's what I see going on right now.
I see it
with
too.
The capital outlay process is that order is there's an attempt to put order into the process so that we know what is going on. And so, what are we getting back? What are we getting? We're getting pushback. We're getting legislators who do not want that.
Well, in just a minute, we're going to talk about some of that order that people want to impose. Representative Claudia Shellidge, thank you so much for being on the show with us today and talking to us about what is needed in your district and your experience with this issue. Thank you so much. Right now, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about solutions to this problem. If you agree that this needs to be changed, we want to hear from you. If you think that the current capital outlay process is the only way to pay for important things in your district, we want to hear from you. Call right now, 277-5866 here in Albuquerque. That's 277-5866 or toll free, 877-899-5866. You can also post comments and questions to our Facebook page, KUNM Radio. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Rio Grande School, pre-K through 6th grade, connecting classroom with community, theory with real life, graduating collaborative and confident learners. Open house Thursday, November 5th, 8:30 a.m. Info at riograndeschool.org.
People donate all kinds of vehicles to KUNM. RVs, motorcycles, scooters, lawn tractors, and wrecked cars. Recently, one listener donated two 1956 Chevys, 10 years older than KUNM itself. We appreciate them all, but the one that made everyone smile around here was a 1940 manure spreader. Find out if the vehicle you have to donate can fertilize KUNM and help us grow. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Gwyneth Doland, and I'm here with Sandra Fish, a data journalist with New Mexico In Depth, who's been looking at the way that we fund brick-and-mortar projects here in New Mexico, and Fred Nathan, the executive director of Think New Mexico. Fred, you guys looked at the way we fund these projects, and you looked at the way other states do this, and you came up with a proposal for an independent capital outlay planning board. What would that look like?
It would look a lot like the Public School Facilities Authority, which the New Mexico legislature, one of the best things they've done in the last decade or so, was to pass a bill. Long story, it was in response to a lawsuit from a school district that had no real land to tax to keep their schools open. And they brought a lawsuit, which they won, saying that their kids weren't getting an adequate education, which is guaranteed in the state constitution. So the legislature set aside about $100 million a year just to help local communities build and repair schools. And it's been an enormous success. And just to give you one example, when this process started, public schools in New Mexico, 71% were deficient in some way. That number's now 35%. And they came up with a very simple solution. They created a board made up of experts, people that know about construction, that know about public schools, put them together, came up with a statewide plan using criteria, and prioritized projects. And that's, and the legislature every year rubber stamps their proposals, and it's been a very effective system. And all we're suggesting is, why don't we just replicate what you all have already done with public schools for all these other infrastructure needs that we have, from roads and bridges to dams and water systems and university classrooms?
Sandra Fish, you know, I mentioned when Representative Claudia Schillich was on the phone that this is not necessarily a political issue. You know, you have reported on the Colorado State House. Can you tell us, you know, how does this work in Colorado? How do they fund their projects up there?
You know, it's interesting, Gwyneth, because, in fact, Colorado uses their severance taxes in a different way, and I don't think it brings in nearly the amount of money that New Mexico does. So Colorado doesn't really do bonding for projects like this, and they have very few projects, and they're big-ticket items. They're like large buildings for state government or large buildings for universities or prisons, and they have a ranking system that executive and legislative staff do, and it's a very quick process. You just go down the list, and how much money do we have, and they're ranked in this order, and that's what gets the money if you can afford it. There are a lot of years where they can't afford. In a recession, they can't even afford to fund any capital. But it's a different, it's a ranking process, much like the one that Think New Mexico is proposing and that a lot of other states do.
What states, Fred, did you look at when you were coming up with this idea? Are there other places that you think do this particularly well?
Yes. We looked at all 50 states, and there are 19 states that have independent commissions, like what Sandra was just describing. Two states that always come up towards the top of the rankings are Utah and Oklahoma. Oklahoma is interesting because they were like us in 1992. They were at the bottom. They didn't have any sort of planning system. They went to this, and they do one very interesting thing that we'd like to adopt in New Mexico, which is an independent commission comes up with a ranking based on what the legislature comes up in terms of criteria, and then the legislature and the governor can't add projects, but they can subtract projects from what the commission develops. And that seems to work very well for Oklahoma. They're ranked, as I said, at the top of all these rankings.
Lawmakers, we want to hear from you if you happen to be listening. We want to know what you think about changing this process. So you should call us at 277-5866 here in Albuquerque, or toll-free 877-899-5866. Fred, I want to come back to you for a minute. You know, I mentioned earlier that Senator Pete Campos, you mentioned him. Mm-hmm. He's an expert in this process, and he has introduced bills in the past that would change this. How do his proposals that he has introduced compare to what you're looking for?
Very similar, very similar. One of the things that, you know, we come at it from a nonpartisan standpoint, and one of the things I think that's really important in any solution is that this be a shared process between the legislature and the executive. So, for example, our proposal, this independent commission, half would come from legislative appointees, like, for example, the director of the Legislative Finance Committee should be on there. The Linda Kehoe is another expert who works at the Legislative Finance Committee. Similarly, the governor should have his or her cabinet secretary from the Department of Finance and Administration. So that's one way we're trying to sort of chart a neutral course between the legislature and the executive and show them that they could both do this. If they work together, we could get something that would be superior to the current system.
So do you have someone who is going to introduce a bill that looks like this?
So we're talking to lots of legislators and trying to find the right person. And when we have them, we'll let you know.
And Sandra Fish, I want to come back to you. You know, Fred and his compatriots are always come. You have a new report every year on a specific topic. You did the repeal of the food tax. You've worked on
reforming the lottery to get more dollars to scholarships.
The PRC, and you got some of that stuff moved out of the PRC to the Secretary of State's office and stuff like that. It's always an uphill battle to make changes like this, as I think the representative mentioned. Sandra Fish, you were watching the legislature with me last year. What do you think their reactions will be to a change that is so big like this?
Gwyneth and Fred, I think it's going to be a tough battle, although maybe last year's total mess and crisis of a capital outlay bill will motivate some people. It's going to take some convincing of lawmakers that this is in their benefit. And there are lawmakers who think that it helps their reelection purposes by going back home and saying, I got you this X number of dollars for your senior center. But I'm not sure that that's true. And I think that you can make the case in a lot of places that, hey, we would be better off if there's a more equitable system to get the things done that we really need to get done. It's going to take a coalition. It's going to take, I think, some executive support. And I think some of the things that Fred's suggesting, like a better, stronger Department of Finance and Administration staff, which Secretary Doug Clifford has been asking for in the past, elevating it from a bureau to a division, the Capital Outlay Bureau, and increasing the staff and having more oversight. I think if you can get some executive support, you're better off. And it's going to be interesting Governor Susana Martinez decides and whether she backs this proposal.
And she has been a real critic of the way we do this. Fred?
Well, we would not have gotten involved in this fight if we didn't think it was achievable. And we've joked around about, you know, it's a little bit like taking the punch bowl away from the party and replacing it with a plate of spinach. but we really, for all the reasons Sandra just said, after the last special session, which was such a debacle, a lot of legislators said afterwards, both publicly and privately, that they've got to change this system.
And just to refresh, because maybe some people were watching the Kardashians while this was happening and not paying such close attention legislature, but the session ended without passing a capital outlay bill, and people were freaking out that we were not going to fund these projects that really needed to get done, and they had to come back in a special session and do it. And I know this is hard for people who don't spend time at the legislature to understand, but it's like a gigantic machine that you cannot just turn on and off.
right?
I mean, there's all this temporary staff that has to get hired and has to come up there, and all these people who have to come from all over the state. And so it costs a lot of money to have a special session. And when that bill didn't pass, it was like all this extra money that we had to pay just to restart the machine for the one day that it took to pass this bill.
That's exactly right. And to put it in historical perspective, it wasn't just this last year. So we looked back over the last two decades, and a half dozen of those 20 years, they've had to have a special session where this was either the primary piece on the agenda or a secondary piece on the agenda. So, and it's not surprising that we have all these special sessions to pass the Christmas tree bill, because it's really just a political fight. Because there's no objective criteria, it usually comes down to a test of wills, whether it's between the legislature and the executive or Democrats and Republicans. And that's why we, I think, need more of a merit-based system. And if we had that, we probably wouldn't need to have all these special sessions. And I also wanted to touch on something that Sandra brought up, which is, and we agree with her, you know, a lot of legislators say, at least, that they feel like this is imperative to their reelection, and that's why they don't want to change the system. But if you look at the numbers, there's, for every 8 requests, only 1 gets funded. So I'm just looking at this, looking at the math politically, and if you're having to turn down 7 people for every 1 person you make happy, that would seem to me not to be politically beneficial.
And I don't know. I put a lot of stuff on my Christmas list, and I don't get it all, but I'm still happy when I get one thing.
Well, except seven of those people get nothing in their stockings. So,
you know, let me jump in here and add that when I talked to Roberto Ramo, the board chairwoman and Albuquerque attorney, board chairwoman of Think New Mexico, she pointed out this is a huge economic issue for the state of New Mexico. Not only does it provide money for communities and the state to get infrastructure projects done, it provides an economic engine for the state. It employs people who build that infrastructure. And so it's a really important thing that people should probably take a little more seriously.
But, you know, I just keep coming back to this idea. Representative Claudia Schillage told us that she asked for $15,000 for that sign for the college out in Kirtland, which is a very small community west of Farmington, very rural. It is hard to find stuff out there. Where are they going to get money for these little things, Fred, if not through this bill? How are we going to, you know, get a new fence for the Little League field? How are we going to rehab my dog park?
Well, actually, I think I wish Representative Klaus Asilich was still on the phone, because I think her district would be one of the biggest winners in the kind of system that we want to move to that's based on merit, because the needs are so great in her district that her district would inordinately benefit from something like this. And full disclosure, there'd be other districts that would be losers under a system like this because their needs aren't that great.
I'm hearing you say my dog park would not get fixed.
Your dog park might not get fixed. I've been dying to mention there's also a doggy drinking fountain that was funded by the Christmas tree bill.
Listen, it is hard to haul water to the dog park.
Absolutely.
Those doggy drinking fountains are important. And these projects that do get funded by capital outlay, just to reinforce, many of them are very worthwhile projects.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the things, Gwyneth, about your dog park in the city of Albuquerque is that the city of Albuquerque and Bernalillo County have a huge tax base. Why should the dog park in Albuquerque get money from the state when they have a huge tax base that the city and county should be paying for something like that?
Well, that's a good point. All right.
And I'm glad Sandra brought that up, because that's how we do it with the public schools, that districts that have no property tax base, they can come in with a relatively small match, whereas a different community with a lot of tax base has to come up with most of that money themselves. Under this system that we have now, there is no component for matching funds. And if there were, that would help to weed out some of these projects that are more orientated towards political pork, because the local governments would say, well, we're not going to provide a match for that. But currently, you know, people have their hands out because there is no requirement of a match.
Speaking of having your hands out for some pork, because bacon is my favorite thing in the whole world, I want to make a wager on a pound of bacon here. Fred, bet me a pound of bacon that this will pass or not pass. What are you offering?
Well, as I said earlier, we are results oriented. We think we're going to pass this session, so I'll double your bet. Two pounds of bacon.
2 pounds, one of those big thick cut packs. I hear you. Fish, what do you think? Will you bet me a pound of bacon?
I don't wager, Gwyneth. I'm against it.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today. Thank you, Sandra Fish from New Mexico In Depth.
Thanks, Gwyneth.
And thank you, Fred Nathan, for driving down from Santa Fe.
Many thanks, Gwyneth.
And thanks to Sharon Claudia Schillage, a state representative from Kirtland, New Mexico, who talked to us about needs in her district. On our website, we have posted links to Sandra Fish's reporting from New Mexico In Depth, several stories, Think New Mexico's reform initiative, although you have to write away in the mail to get the actual paper report in a fancy booklet. We also posted an Albuquerque Journal editorial. I didn't mention this, but they've endorsed your idea. And a link to the New Mexico State Legislature's 2015 capital outlay bill, so you can go look at those on our website. There's also a podcast of the KUNM Call-In Show. Find it on iTunes or share the link once we've posted the audio online. You can find previous shows at KUNM.org. You can email comments to us at callinshow@KUNM.org. Find us on Facebook, search for KUNM Radio, or follow the newsroom on Twitter at KUNM News. Thanks to Jefferson White, our engineer today, Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. Allison Huron assisted with production, and Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm your host, Gwyneth Doland.